We're your official station to talk Yankees and Mets. WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the fan, WFAN.
Oh, that's right. It's your boy, Anthony Gallo, and I got you all the way till 3:20 on this special Easter Sunday. And I guess also a Passover Sunday as that continues as well. Alex is on the other side of the glass. We've got you on both dials until Yankees pregame at, I think, 12:50. I'll get the exact time for that as well. But I got you all the way on the FM dial and the stream and YouTube until 3:20. We got a lot to get into. The number to call is always 888-808-1019. And, you know, this is like a pre, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, cheat myself out of a nice fat Easter dinner, pizza rustica, all the fixings, all of it, you know, maybe some pastries as always. But just like that, we get ready for an exciting baseball Sunday. The Yankees continue to look like a dominant juggernaut that I thought they could be. A lot of Yankee fans whine themselves out of it. Well, we didn't get a special piece. They didn't sign anyone. Who cares that we had one of the best pitching staffs and the best offenses in all of baseball last year? I wanted Kyle Tucker. And they continue to look monstrous right now. And they don't even have Garrett Cole, Carlos Rodon. They don't have the full complement of their pieces. It's not even like everyone on the team is playing well. They far and wide have the best pitching staff statistically in baseball at this point. Aaron Judge hasn't even hit his groove yet. And Stanton, not only doing it with the bat platooning on the base pads, Ben Rice looking fantastic. Cam Schlittler, early favorite for AL Cy Young. So everything is right in Yankees land. And then on the other side of town, Met fans do as Met fans always do. Panic, wave the white flag, blow up the season. Everything is a disaster. And then in two games, they put up a ton of offense. And it is early on. And I think you could take a lot more that is concrete with the Yankees and go forward and say this is a good baseball team that has done this now for a few years with this group. And we know what they can be. And with the Mets, you obviously can't get too high and can't get too low. But it is so asinine how many people panicked after seven games with the New York Mets. They went out there and treated it as if the season was over. Yes, the offense has not been good right now. And the last 2 days, they have done their job. But it is early. You have a lot of new pieces. You have a young right fielder. You have a manager trying to feel out a lot of platoon positions, where he's going to go. And for my money, I look at it right now, and I feel pretty good about where they are to start the season. They are 5-4. That's what I take out of it. They've won more games than they've lost. The pitching staff outside of, you know, Peralta hasn't been great. He hasn't been helped in that second start either. I thought the first start was more encouraging that this is a guy who could struggle and still get you through 5.5 innings, 6 innings. Peterson's start was bad. But again, he settled in. And it is early on. I thought the bullpen has looked fantastic outside of a couple, Dickey Lovelady outings. Offensively, I've seen things that are more encouraging to me because I know Bo Bichette will hit. I know Lindor and Soto will hit. Luis Robert, I expect him to be what he's been. Highs are high and the lows are low. I don't think he's going to be terrible. He's going to be an upgrade over what they were trotting out in center field for the majority of last year. Marcus Semien is an elite glove, and I expect him to be a decent bat. I don't know why we expected this guy to go out there and dominate. But the one positive I could take away from it, or two positives, is we talked about the young players on this team. We talked about what we need guys, specifically Beatty, Vientos, and Alvarez. Obviously, Carson Bench, rookie, totally different conversation. But we needed guys to step up. And two of those guys who are going to be key pieces, Vientos and Alvarez, have been fantastic. I don't need to see Brett Beatty play more than Mark Vientos at this point. I don't. You want to put him in right field at times? Sure, fine. If the choice is him or Vientos at first base, I want to see Vientos. If it's him or Vientos at DH, I want to see Vientos. Brett Beatty is a guy who I like as a bench player. He was kind of overrated. And Vientos, I don't know what Vientos is. I just know he has a higher ceiling than Brett Beatty does. And even in his slumps, he is still one of the more productive power hitters in the National League. And Francisco Alvarez has gotten off to a fast start, has gotten off to a good start. And it is a guy who I think could elevate this offense in a way that we were not thinking about. I think a lot of Mets fans had written him off. I think a lot of Mets fans, and Yankee fans do this as well. I think in this city, we beg for the young guys to play, and when they struggle, we write them off. And we don't give them a chance to develop. I think we've seen that with Anthony Volpe. We've now seen that with Francisco Alvarez as he's been up and down. But I look at this team, and I don't see the ragtag, you know, crappy baseball team that Mets fan. I'm not telling you they're a juggernaut, so don't get it twisted. But I don't see this putrid baseball team that 95% of the fan base was telling you about. That the season was over because they were 3-3 after six games. I don't see it. And I look at around baseball. The Blue Jays struggled to beat the Athletics. Yes, they swept them, but they won in extra innings to start the season. First and second game. Then they lost 2 out of 3 to the Rockies and have now lost 2 in a row to the Blue Jays. Two in a row to the White Sox. Does that make me think that the Blue Jays are a bad team? No, they're off to a slow start. But when the Mets struggle with the Giants, the Cardinals, and the Pirates, well, they really struggle with the Pirates. And even when they won, the wins didn't count because they struggled with the Pirates. They struggled with the Cardinals. It was somehow meant the team was a disaster. And not as much on the other side of it with the Yankees, because I do think there was some Yankee fans that were trying to discredit everything they had done to start the season. They are now 7-1 with an elite pitching staff, with an offense that has proven to put up big numbers, and when they're not putting up big numbers, get timely hits. Their defense looks exponentially better than it has at any point in the Aaron Boone era. They are going to get better. That they are not even healthy yet. When you look at no Cole, no Rodon, I know a lot of you don't care about Volpe, but on the another side of it, as a bench piece, a utility guy, Oswaldo Cabrera hasn't been back yet. They look amazing. And on the other side of things, with the Mets, another one, and I it was somebody I wanted to add into it, but he wasn't a young player. Kodai Senga looked great in his start. Clay Holmes has looked fantastic in both his starts. Nolan McLean looks fantastic. He had Rafael Devers losing his mind at how crazy the ball was moving off of his pitches. There is a lot of positive out of the Yankees. I don't know why I said it positive. There's a lot of positivity coming out of the Yankees clubhouse right now. A lot of things to look at with that team, that they are what I thought they were. I know a lot of Yankee fans didn't think that they are the best team in the AL, that they are a legitimate World Series contender. And for the Mets, a team I thought was about an 87-win team, they look fine. I don't care who they're playing on April 5th. If they win the game, they win the game. I think it's going to take time to see overall what this offense is going to be. I am confident in what I've seen from the pitching staff. I'm not telling you that this is going to be one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. I am confident what I've seen from the pitching staff. If a pitching staff struggles early, that's a concern for me. If an offense struggles early, that's not a concern for me. I'm not telling you that I think this offense is going to be a juggernaut. I actually do think the lineup will be better overall. When the season's done, they will have a better overall statistical season offensively than they have in the past. But if a pitching staff struggles early, that's a concern for me. Why? Because if you're struggling when the majority of the league is not hitting, that is something that I can't project to go well for you going forward. Offensively, and I don't think that's the case with the Mets. I think they've just struggled. But offensively, teams tend to hit better as the season goes along. They tend to hit better the more they see pitchers. And there's ups and downs. You're going to go through your cold streaks. You're going to go through your hot streaks. Pitching is more of a consistency if there's health and longevity out of it. Meaning, are they going into the fifth, the sixth inning? And I know that's sacrilege. They only went five innings. Well, that's baseball. That's the league average. So for the Yankees, I don't know how, if you're a Yankee fan, you could find anything to be negative about. And for the Mets, you have to just take a step back, walk away from the ledge, and realize they're 5-4. They're over 500. No, it hasn't been pretty. There's been ups. There's been downs. You know, Polanco looks shaky at first. Bo Bichette looks like he was probably going to look no matter what at third base. But there had been things that a lot of people did not expect. Vientos hitting the way he has. Alvarez hitting the way he has. Certain pitchers. I don't know why Mets fans continue to doubt the ability of Clay Holmes. He has done his job since he started as a Met. And if anything, you know, he pitched great to start the season, kind of slumped a little bit in August, early September, and at the end of the season has his best stuff. And has started the season looking great and gave them a much-needed seven innings yesterday. I did not get to see it because I was in the marathon that is Easter Vigil, the Mass. It was a very cool, awesome experience, but, you know, I didn't get to witness what happened with the Mets in that. So I had to, you know, condense the game for both the Mets and the Yankees, but, and obviously catching up on Joe Adell robbing 16,000 home runs yesterday in the Angels game. This has been a good start for both teams. If you were a Mets fan that went into the season thinking they were a 91, 92 wins team, I don't know. I wasn't with you. If you were a Mets fan that thought they were going to be below 500, I also wasn't with you. They are probably going to compete for a wild card. And that's what they look like right now. A team that's going to float around 86, 87 wins, maybe 88. And that should be good enough for one of those wild cards. But it is early on, and to make a drastic claim that the season is over or they are not a good team after nine games, it's also the same thing, I think, more so for the Mets to claim that they're a World Series contender, obviously, because they haven't looked like that. It's different with a team like the Yankees, who has done it consistently. They had the best record in the American League last year. They were in the World Series 2 years ago. So there is a track record of a team doing stuff. And this not being an anomaly. With the Mets, we're going to have to see it. They have guys with track records, Bo Bichette, Freddie Peralta, that they've brought in. But we're going to have to see it. Sean Manaea, I think it's been a little encouraging to see what he could do out of the pen. Obviously, there's been traffic on the base paths with him. But I think I've seen more and more from him each time he's pitched. I don't know if he's ever going to factor into a starting pitcher this year. Maybe he does. Maybe he's a spot starter. But I feel good about where the Mets are right now into, you know, comparing it to where I think they're going to go. And for the Yankees, right now, I am as right as I could be. I thought they were the best team in the American League. I thought they were the second best team in baseball. And right now, they look like a juggernaut. 888-808-1019, Anthony Gallo on the Fan. Let's go out to George in Putnam County. What's going on, George?
I got a choice between talking to the Easter Bunny or Anthony, and you know what? I want to talk to both of you guys.
Wow. And Easter Bunny's not here right now.
Well, the Easter Bunny's got to be somewhere, right? It's Easter Sunday, but it's great having you on the air. I'm glad you're getting a lot of light too, man. It's really, you got a good personality, and everybody says, "Oh, you're buttering him." Nah, Anthony's good, and people don't know. A lot of times you're on late at night too, filling in, and it's great, you know,
right.
People getting up.
And now when
work.
I get my, you know, my cravings for sweets and meats, you know, it's not as terrible for my diet when it's at, you know, noon and it's not at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You just enjoy yourself, my man. Just enjoy yourself today. I don't care if you eat the biggest chocolate bunny today.
Wow.
You enjoy yourself.
There's a pizza rooster with my name at home waiting for me.
Well, that's it. The Easter pie with you guys, right?
Yes.
Who makes the Easter pie?
You do? No. So my mom, congratulations to my mom. She just bought a house, so she's not with us right now. She's handling that whole thing. So I'm with my girlfriend and her family. I went and bought the pizza rustica. It's not homemade. So normally it's my mom that makes it, though.
Right. No, there's nothing wrong. You can buy it from some places, like the Moose was just talking about Arthur Abbey. You can buy it up there.
Well, I got it. I'm in Bay Ridge, and there is a Italian bakery by me that is fantastic, Panatico, which is, I live there. I basically live in that place, and that's where I got it from.
That's it. That's what you want, man. You want a good Italian deli somewhere in your neighborhood or the neighborhood next to you. But usually a lot of them are going away, because they're moving out to the suburbs. And you don't want to run into that type of situation. You want to have that Italian food very close to you because it's delicious. And did you ever go up to Arthur Avenue?
I have a few times. A couple times to go and get, I forget what the place is called, but they get mozzarella from I feel like they're like the oldest one in the city, but yeah, I've been up there a few times.
Yeah, no, it's great. The food up there is great.
A lot of people say that's the actual Little Italy up there.
No, it is. I always called it the Little Italy. I used to joke around with the guys. Manhattan is like a tourist attraction. Don't get me wrong. You had good restaurants down there, but the Little Italy's gotten taken over by Chinatown, right? But the real Little Italy, if people don't know, is up on Arthur Avenue. They now call it the Belmont section, Dion and the Belmonts. But I love these neighborhoods. They make up these names. It's Arthur Avenue.
I never heard of it before, but where the station is located is Hudson Square. And I've never heard of that in my life. And if you look on a map, that's what the neighborhood is. So they do, and it's a way to probably drive up the tax prices and bring in a higher real estate. You had a Yankee point, though.
Yeah, the Yankee. But first, let me just say, I knew a lot of guys from Hell's Kitchen. I never heard any guy say, I'm from Hell's Kitchen. They would say, oh, I'm from 9th Avenue. I'm from 10th Avenue. I never heard that. But Hell's Kitchen was always established. But the thing is, with the Yankee point, listen, this is what you want to do. You want to come out of the box big time. You know what I'm saying? You want to have like a 15-5 start, a 27 start. You want to get out of the box with a lot of wins.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, it's a long season, and we know what the Yankees do. They start as a house on fire. June rolls around. They forget how to play for a couple of months. Then, guys, they start asking me, are the Yankees going to make the playoffs? Listen, in August, a lot of the teams, let's face it, they start packing it in. The Yankees are going to beat up on the bad teams, and they're going to make it to the playoffs. The Yankees are built to beat up bad teams.
Well, and George, I appreciate the call. You have to beat the bad teams. You got to play who's in front of you, and you can't take it away from a team when they do get an easy stretch. The Yankees kind of have an easy stretch to start the season, and that is what it is. It is what it is, and that's a good thing, though. The AL is a vastly improved league. I still think the Yankees are better than any team in that league. But, they start off, they finish today against the Marlins. So if you're going out to the stadium, enjoy yourself. Still waiting to see somebody who got the chicken bucket ice cream or the apple pie nachos, which just seems to be like the most underrated item at Yankee Stadium that I've seen they added. But then they get the Athletics, and they put those atrocious Sacramento on their jersey, which was just disgusting. And just like that franchise, it's disgusting. Then they get the Rays on the road, essentially a home game, and the Angels at home before they play the Royals and the Red Sox and the Astros. And then the stretch gets hard. Royals, Astros, Red Sox, Rangers, Orioles, Rangers again, and then the Brewers. So that's a tough stretch. That they basically, after that, Angels series, basically from the Royal series into the Subway series, they have a tough stretch. And that's where we're going to start to see people, I think, buy in, because I think the Yankees are going to rattle off a great April and a great beginning of May. You have to win the games. If you're there in October, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if you did it in April or if you did it in August. It doesn't matter. And when you get there, perform. That's it. And I think if I know a lot of people do not see it with the Yankees, but I think that running it back at times, it could be a problem. We've seen that with the Mets at times. Continuity, though, is not always a bad thing. And I never felt like the Yankees didn't have the talent to win. It never felt like a talent thing. It felt like getting it done when it mattered most. Some of it would be pitching. Some of it would be hitting. Last year was pitching. The year before, it was a bad fifth inning. Not saying they were going to win that World Series, but that's what it was. The year before that, it was the not hitting. Or 2 years before that. You have to understand it's a marathon. And maybe besides hockey, it's the biggest crapshoot when you get to the playoffs than any other sport. Because one cold week ends your season. You know, in the NBA and the NFL, we kind of know what guys track to be. There isn't a fluctuation. This guy's so great 1 year, and then the next year he's not as great, and then he's back to being great. You know Patrick Mahomes is going to be great every year. You know that SGA and Jokic are going to be great every year. Jalen Brunson, you know these guys are going to come out, and there's not going to, even if they slump a little bit, there's not going to be a drastic fluctuation in what they do. In baseball, I think it's the hardest sport to be consistently great. That's why when a guy like Aaron Judge or Ohtani, you know, just current guys, it's impressive. Because look at other guys who are great in this league. Cody Bellinger, Francisco Lindor at times, and how much they fluctuate. The Yankees have the talent to compete. I think the Mets have the talent to be a playoff team. I think the Mets have the talent to, you know, maybe shock some people at the end of the year, but they also are on that teetering point where we could be sitting here and they miss the wild card by one or two games, and we are complaining. And I am wrong about what I said right now, that it doesn't matter as much. They've played 9 games. You got 153 more of these. I nailed that math right there. You go from here, and they just got to keep winning series. You go out today, you win the series. You don't split, you actually win it. And you go from there. Win series, stack up the series wins, and see how things play out. I also think a lot of, and Gio said this, and I think he was right earlier in the week. You know, these teams, specifically the Mets, made all these moves. The Mets got rid of Alonso, beloved, Diaz, beloved, Nimmo, I guess he was beloved. Jeff McNeil was not beloved. But you got rid of all these guys that have been here for a long time. So any struggle early on is going to be extra loud because a lot of people, including myself at times, were not on board with what they did this offseason. I liked where they ended up. I still feel like Diaz should have been back. I still feel like Alonso should have been back. I don't really care about Nimmo and McNeil. Nimmo was fine. He ran hard to first base. He was a good Met. Was not an all-star. And Jeff McNeil was a bum. I was okay with getting rid of McNeil. But those were moves they made, and a lot of it pissed off the fan base. So any struggles early on, we're going to hear it 10 times as loud. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And for the first home series, the crowd was electric. That Saturday game, it was gross out. It was cold. It was long. It was a loud game. Same thing with the Sunday game. So right now, you look at it. They're 5-4 to start the season. I think that's a positive. They go out today. They're 6-4. They've won 2 out of 3 series. And you go from there. And the Yankees go out and win today. They dominate another series. Great homestand to start the year. Oh, which isn't over. Sorry. They got another 4 games before, 3 games before that. But a great start to the homestand. The stadium's been packed. It's been awesome. Opening day looked like it was a blast. Again, I didn't get to see much of it. I watched a condensed game yesterday. But I expect another packed crowd today on Easter Sunday. 888-808-1019. Back to the calls we go. Jake in Rockaway. What's going on, Jake?
Yeah, I just want to point out a point that no one's taking point note of. See, all these wins that the Yankees are getting, they're not They're not getting home runs. They're getting base hits, aggressive returning, even Stanton getting off stolen bases, retarded. And Dodgers feeling, and the pitching's insane. I think they're way better than the Dodgers. I think they're a 110-win team. And yeah, 100%.
Let's ride it. Jake, let's ride it. It's okay. I'd rather you be positive right now and a little delusional than be negative and delusional.
You're a Mets fan, are you, man?
I'm a Mets fan.
Oh, yeah, I just want to point out on that point. Well, every single season, Mets have a slump. They go through a month. So if they continue like the whole season, they're 6 games over .500, and then like they go a little under, and then back 10 games over, and then they have this slump, then they're sure not going to make the playoffs because then they're going to end up getting 10 games under .500.
And Jake, I appreciate the call. It's up and down. That's what it is. Up and down. That's the season. You'd rather the team slump early than in, you know, late July, August, September. And for the Mets, it's, you got to control what you can control. And no one is giving these wins back. No one is giving you wins. So if you beat a bad team in extra innings, you take it. This nonsense that, oh, they beat the Pirates and the Giants. Who cares? Go ask a Blue Jay fan how they feel right now, losing to bad teams, struggling with the A's to start the season. It's early on, and you can't get too high. You can definitely not get too low. Because if you're going to be too low, how do you survive 162 games? It's just, and it is an overly negative fan base. I also think that they have gone, we've gone through ebbs and flows with this team, but I think that as a whole, the city is overly negative. I get it. The Knicks haven't played great over the last week and a half. We treat the Knicks like they're a play-in team and not a team that's a legit title contender. The Yankees came into the season with a team that had the number one record in the American League, the best hitter on the planet, maybe the best pitching staff on paper when healthy, and we treat them like they're an 80-win team. The Mets, I get some of the criticism, but the early-on negativity is ridiculous. It is. They're 5-4. That's what they are. That is, right now, it's a positive. They're over 500. They've looked good. They're 5-4. While the offense has been inconsistent, outside of 3 games, they really haven't gotten a lot of offense. They haven't gotten timely hitting. So you have to take the positives where they are right now. Vientos looks good. Alvarez looks good. In a limited outings, Clay Holmes and Kodai Senga look good. Nolan McClain picked up right where he left off last year. He looks good. That's where you have to look at this team right now. And in my opinion, there's been more positives that outweigh the negatives. And I'll get one more. I want to take one more call before we get the break. With Clay Holmes, I hope that the stigma that Mets fans have, because he was good last year. He was a solid starter for us last year. He was our most consistent, but he was a solid starter last year. But it felt like they never gave him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that last start he gave of the season, they did. But where he gave his best outing on the biggest day of the season to that point before the next day. But I hope that this notion that, oh, he's a relief pitcher, or because he was an ex-Yankee, they get away from it. Because he has been more good than bad. He's been borderline a top-of-the-end rotation piece. Not an ace, but a 2-3 type guy. In today's baseball, he has been that good for them. And the last two starts have just solidified that for me. And you wanted a guy to go 7 innings, you got it out of him. Again, another positive. 888-808-1019. My guy, JR in Somerville. What's going on, dude?
What's going on? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, my guy.
Listen, I see you interacting with the tweets of somebody who has risen, and you rang the bell earlier for our guy here on what we call Vientos on Vientos. Okay? I agree 100% with your take on the negativity going of surrounding baseball fans in the city, specifically, you know, the Mets fans. And I'm telling you, what we're seeing out of Alvarez with how he goes to center field, and the power is legit.
Yes.
How he's going to the upper tank. Okay, you're seeing it with Vientos. Okay, he's taking the pitches off this, the end of the zone and challenging them. And Mendoza saying, "Hey, this guy's seeing the ball." You know, the guy is known for hitting 440-foot high line drives out of the park.
Right.
What are we talking about here? Moving away from players that, with the eye test, are telling you that these are the guys that we should be playing going forward. I love the way this team looks. They look athletic. With Bichette, I like the way his at-bats are.
Yeah.
I like how he attacks the baseball. Okay? Nimmo and Alonso, I love them. They used to take strike one, belt high. Okay?
Wow. It would frustrate me with Nimmo. I know he was a patient hitter, but it's 2-0 on the count, and he's taking a strike right down the middle.
Exactly. Okay? I like the athleticism. I like Benj. I like the cannon from right field. I saw there was a throw, I think it was last night, where or maybe a couple nights ago, where Lindor cut it off, but this kid's got a cannon. We have a team that is traditionally built. Semien is shorthanded, okay? Shorthanded up the middle. With Lindor, love that, okay? Robert's going to be all right in center field, obviously. You know, we're seeing him have better at-bats because, listen, the way that we sounded at home on the opening weekend, the quality of players around him are going to just make him better, okay? So you got to be positive with this. The pitching, we're going to build to a crescendo, okay? Manaea's going to be pitching. He's going to be starting towards the end of the year.
Well,
but
yeah,
it's April. We got to be patient. You know, burn these dudes like Lovelady. Who cares?
Well,
okay,
that's what
they
did. And Lovelady gave him a couple good outings, and then they threw him out there another three straight days. And it was like, all right, now the magical run is over again with Dickie Lovelady. And you're right. And I think also they haven't gotten a lot out of Polanco or Lindor yet. They haven't really gotten anything out of Bo Bichette, but they have gotten stuff out of guys I needed to see. I also think there's something to what you were saying, the stadium sound. Luis Robert played on a dead, disappointing White Sox team where the fan base was dejected because they never lived up to the expectations with him and Anderson and Jimenez and Abreu. They never lived up to the expectations. And now he's at a fan base that even when we're average, we go out and we pack the park, we're loud. And I think that's going to feed into his game a little bit.
The only noise those White Sox fans made was, I think, when they snuck the gun through the metal detector, okay?
Right.
So, it's time now, baby. Hey, thanks for the time.
I appreciate you, JR. We'll talk during the next run as well, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of angst there as well. I appreciate you, JR.